said, we're in Hebrews, Hebrews 11, verse 29. If I could have somebody read that verse for me, and then we will dive into this.
By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land.
Okay. Not very long verse, but there's a lot... a lot packed into it. We talked about what did all this entail of crossing the Red Sea on dry land, and what was the faith that was required in that. So if we jump back, or just turn back, to Exodus 14, and let's look at the crossing of the Red Sea. Where we'll start, the whole chapter does discuss the crossing of the Red Sea, but I wanted to start in verse 13. This is after the Hebrews have come out of Egypt. They walked and determined on where you decided Mount Sinai is, but they, in this, it's been enough time that they've been away from Pharaoh's forces, and Pharaoh's forces are following in after them and chasing them at this point in time. God has told them to change their course from where they were going. They've gone down south, and they've gone to a place where it's on the side of the Red Sea. And so they're stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's forces are coming towards them. So in verse 13, it states, "And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." That's interesting. The Lord said to Moses in verse 15, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." This is part that I found kind of interesting. "Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by the strong wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of the cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.' And then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horses.' So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, The Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, and not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. So part of that I might get into later, but first let's, how did it take faith to cross the Red Sea, as the Lord said?
Well, I think it's really interesting that you started in verse 13 as we're talking about the faith of Israel, because if you jump back up to verse 10, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Mm-hmm. So, the natural question is, well, what faith are you talking about?
I also never realized, but that was at night too. They were crossing over. I think it's just because of kid pictures, I always thought of that as like during the day, but I feel like it'd be pretty, I don't know, just thinking about the faith of Moses having to just raise up his arms and trust that, you know, over the next couple of hours, like, there's going to be a way through, you know, never having seen anything like that before. Have a hard time imagining like how that would look, and the fact that if it didn't happen, you know, if he was wrong or whatever, no one would ever follow him or believe him, because they were already doubting, like he was saying, like they're already saying, we want to just go back. So if he raised up his arms and nothing happened, then he would just be done. So I think
that would still be a surreal scene. Yeah. Just seeing the waters, a wall on both sides, and you want me to walk in the middle of that? What happens if the waters come back? And to just go ahead and step out there, like, okay, I'm just going to go.
I think it's interesting that the ground was dry.
Right, yeah.
Like, you're not trudging through the mud.
Yeah.
Right? The bottom of the sea was completely dry.
Well, I also think, to your point, sorry, I forgot your name. The fact that at the beginning the people were doubting, but then they eventually did walk through. So obviously, ideally, you don't question God, and you do just kind of, okay, this is what you want me to do. But the Bible still lauds their faith later on, because, you know, it is human to question. Ultimately, though, they did display enough faith to walk through the water.
It's also interesting, too. It's like you want to... It's very easy to, like, all, you know, they lacked faith and they're doubting, whatever. It's like here in the year 2024, like, we have the whole story. They didn't have this. Like, they didn't have the law, at least at this point. Like, they didn't have the law. There were many generations between, like, when Joseph and, like, you know, like, this family, like, first, you know, took root. Like, so that, how much of that had they forgotten? It's like, I mean, when did Moses write the book of Exodus? It was after this, was it not? Like, what did they have to, like, reference? Like, it could be just, like, without the full story, without the full context, you see these miraculous things happening, and you're like, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know who to trust. Like, what is happening?
And I'm glad you guys brought this up, because we do have the full law. And how many people have perfect faith?
I just think these people are just like us.
Yes.
You know, we
yes.
know all the things. We see all the things. We have seen God work and move in our lives and the lives of other people, and still we go, oh my gosh, you know, throw up our hands and like, there's no way it's going to work out, and what are you doing to me? And, I mean, we're these people.
Yeah.
Well, I think.
And we know.
Yeah.
I think, too, I'll forget the reference here, but Jesus at one point says to Peter, like, blessed are you for believing, essentially, but even more so, blessed are the people who haven't seen and still believe.
Yeah.
I think that absolutely applies to basically everything up through the point where you actually have a full scripture to look at. That would have been terrifying, you know? And also, like, yeah, what is to say that the water isn't going to crash back over them? Which, by the way, it did over the Egyptians,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and that goes to the faith. It took faith for the Hebrews to walk into the midst. What faith did the Egyptians have?
Their rage.
Yeah. What was that?
Their rage.
Yeah.
Pharaoh driving them forward.
Mm-hmm.
Their fear of his wrath if they don't.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, sweetheart?
I suppose they assumed that this miracle was happening for them as well.
Yeah.
Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. It's just odd to me that they thought that this miracle was happening, because obviously the Israelites are fleeing from it.
Yeah.
Now they think that they're just going to be able to follow on through.
Yeah.
I think that's because of their pride.
There you go.
their pride and their self-reliance, and we are Pharaoh's army.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, Israeli slaves, you know, Jewish slaves. Who are they?
Right.
You know? If they can do it, we certainly.
Yeah.
They're not special. Salvation's for
everyone. Right.
And for me, I still have to get the Cecil B. DeMille's movie out of my head. But notice where, and this is where I kind of keyed on here, notice where the pillar went. It went from in front of the Hebrews, behind them, to separate them. And then, reading the scripture, you just do a straight read, the Hebrews went in. And the way my imagination, my sanctified imagination goes, is that pillar went with them. And so you have the separation, you have the Hebrews, the pillar, and the Egyptians. And they're moving through, and everything is moving over almost like a timeline. So the Egyptians know that the Hebrews are on the other side. They're going to get to them. As soon as this thing gets out of our way or we find a way around it, we're going to go kill them. So they just drive into the ocean or into the sea right behind them following this pillar. And so they're driving in. It's, in the movie, the pillar goes away and then they drive in. By my reading, the pillar is behind them, moving with them, and God then starts clogging up all the mud and everything. And then he finally says, at the morning watch, it's like the pillar moves out and the waters come down on them. So I think along the lines of it's Pharaoh, the anger going after him. We're gonna get him. Part of that, hey, this must be a phenomenon that's going on, and we can get him with the walls, or the wall of water. We don't care about it. They were focused. How many
that's
people?
What I kind of thought, is that they were? That's kind of how I felt. Is, you know, they're an army, right? Pharaoh needs to go after the Israelites. And that's what I'm doing. Like, they're focused on their mission. I don't think until they started having problems that they
until
really
verse
even
25
recognized that there was something miraculous happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did they recognize? What did they
that
say?
That the Lord was with the Israelites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did they start doing then?
Going back.
They turned around. They were trying to get out of Dodge. And then the Lord crushed him.
Which makes sense what you said. You know, there was that pillar there. So the Israelites are moving through. The pillar is here. So they're moving through. The Egyptians are coming. They don't see what's before them.
Mm-hmm.
All the Israelites make it out. But by then, all the Egyptians are in.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because God killed every last one of them.
Yeah.
So you can't just have, you know, half your army in there.
Yeah.
Do we have any idea how high
the
like how deep the Red Sea was? like where they crossed or thereabouts? Like, I'm trying to like visualize this in my mind. Like, how high are these like walls of water?
There are different identification. One on where you think the Red Sea crossing is,
yeah.
and that gets into all different. One where you think, I think it goes back to where you think Mount Sinai is, Mount Horeb, and everything, because that can get into a really deep discussion. But let's put it this way: it was high enough to drown all those people. And it was tall enough to be called a wall. And if you've ever been to the Middle East, most of those walls are at least 10 feet tall, maybe even longer, maybe even higher, and to keep people out for defending and everything. So I'm thinking at least 10, maybe even more.
I think I like the fact that it seems like God's even kind of giving his mercy to their humanity in the sense that maybe moving the pillar behind, not only is it separating them, but it's also kind of giving them the motivation, like, you have to go through here,
mm-hmm.
like, just to sort of push them in, and then also if it's at night, like, being less scary if you can't see it as well, like, for herds and children and all the extra things that would be with them, maybe, you know, okay, we're just gonna walk, you know, we can't see all the, it's like if you're hiking and you can't see the scary cliff drop to your side, like, all right, you just kind of keep going, and then, you know, just that sort of, like, extra thought for just their humanity and the fact that it would be difficult, like, maybe if they could see it all in the light of day, it would be, like, more difficult for them to have the faith to go through.
Question for you. In verse 19, it says, the angel of the Lord, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. Who's that angel of the Lord?
That's Jesus.
Okay. Just like what we've been talking about, is that a Christophany? The appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament? Because we hear about the angel of God, angel of the Lord, that's the messenger. And Pastor Schillen has talked about that before. And if later on, I don't have a verse now, it does, yeah, in 24, and in the morning watch, the Lord, and this is Yahweh, in the pillar of the fire, of the cloud, looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces in panic. So it says the angel of the Lord at the beginning, then it says Yahweh. So in my understanding, that is a Christophany, that is the seeing Yahweh.
I think it also absolutely fits with, I mean, this is absolutely something that Christ would do as a savior. You know, he's rescuing the Egyptian people and allowing the Egyptians to perish, you know.
Yeah, the Hebrews. Yeah.
And the fact they can look at it, they can look at the pillar and the angel and not die, so that makes me think it's also Jesus versus, like, on the mountain when they can't, when Moses can't see him.
Right. Well, thank you for the discussion. We will jump to the next verse, and hopefully we'll keep on, not next Sunday, but then the first Sunday in April.
So is there Sunday school next week? Because someone said there was.
We will have Sunday school. And let me